Good evening and welcome to Your Call. In a week where everyone was saddened by a departure of thousands of people of the Northeast from different cities around India, joining me tonight is one of the few politicians from the Northeast in the centre, India's youngest Minister of State, Agatha Sangma. Agatha, thanks so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you, Sonia.
Agatha, as I just said, one of the few politicians in the Northeast at the centre, when you watched what happened, in hindsight, how do you think this should have been handled?
To be honest, it was very, very disappointing to see something of this sort, and the mass, exodus, in fact, was something that we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's something which is very difficult to say how should it have been handled, because it eventually happened and people take precautions. Mm-hmm. In today's world, when something happens, we take precautions. So if an SMS comes that is threatening, people tend to take precautions and they flee. Mm-hmm. So in a way, I do understand the sentiment that was behind a lot of this sort of movement that took place. But I think that it is very important for us to build confidence of the people and to set examples where we can say that, yes, we have an effective government, we have an effective administration, and you will be protected. If we set that sort of an example, I really don't think that an SMS could, scare people off to that extent.
One sad aspect was that even if this was seen as a fallout of what happened in Assam, that again, the threats were being given randomly to all people from the Northeast. And I know that this is, of course, an issue which saddens everybody, that you say, oh, everybody from the Northeast, even though we know that there's so many different tribes, different states, everyone from the Northeast is blamed for an incident in a part of Assam. Mm-hmm.
It is very unfortunate, and it is something that is very difficult to contain. This is something that is, in a way, it was to someone like me, it felt very inevitable that this situation would not have been contained within Assam itself, and it would have repercussions in the rest of the country. In fact, this is something that we had been saying from the past, that this is a situation that needs to be looked at more closely. And I would want to say that we mustn't look at it as a issue which is just a communal issue. It is also an issue of administration, and we must strengthen the immigration rules, and the implementation of it must be looked at. Mm-hmm. Especially in the borders of the Northeast.
What has the impact been even for you in your state, in your state of Meghalaya? Because you know that the Congress government in Assam has been blamed for vote bank politics, for looking away because they were winning election after election, and the situation has come to this stage. Mm-hmm. Currently, of course, the NCP, the party to which you belong, is an ally of the Congress. What would you say? What would your advice be to the Congress government in Assam?
Today, to be honest, the borders in the Northeast are extremely porous. And I really feel that it has been overlooked by the government of India. We concentrate a lot on the India-Pakistan border, but the kind of manpower or kind of attention that the northeastern borders need to be given are not being given. To be honest, my constituency borders with Bangladesh, and we feel that a lot of so-called environmental refugees is something that we see in every monsoon season. Mm-hmm. Whenever the rains pour, a lot of the Bangladeshi laborers, tend to come and work in my constituency. And eventually, it's a situation where you cannot close your eyes to a situation like that. And therefore, I think that when you can see that something is arising and it needs to be looked at, one mustn't turn their mm-hmm. heads and say that there is no problem. You must identify that, yes, there is a problem, accept it, and then work on it.
That's an important point. But let's just go across, Agatha, to some young people from Bangalore. Now, we know one of the cities where many young Northeasterners had left. Go ahead with your question for Agatha Sangma.
Good evening, ma'am. This is Salman from Bangalore. We seem to live in a country which is united and secular. But when situations like this arise, the indifference clearly shows up. And We seem to do nothing for it. How do we end this indifference?
Good evening, ma'am. This is Ruhul Paul. My question at this juncture is, number one, what is being done by the state and the central government for the large number of people who have been rendered homeless? And secondly, the breakdown and disintegration of social order that we see today, is this a reflection of the breakdown of the political system and our leadership?
Do you think, one, individually you could have done more, perhaps gone to these areas, perhaps even in Assam, gone as a politician from the Northeast, mm-hmm. and as the central government representative? Do you think the central government should have done more?
First of all, I'd like to thank the students. They've given really yeah. important mm-hmm. questions. And secondly, yes, your question, I mean, I think this is definitely a situation where we could have done more, but it is a lesson that one has learned. It was, I think, something that we were completely not prepared for at that point. And no one expected that in a span of 3 days, so many students or people from the Northeast would be fleeing, leaving their jobs, you know, leaving their lives and heading back to a place where you know, it's difficult for them to find employment, even if it's home. So it was a tough decision that people made in a matter of a day or two. And, you know, it would determine their entire life. So mm-hmm. I understand that it was a very, very tough time for all the people who fled at that point. And my heart really does go out for that. You know, and I do feel that as an individual and as a politician, I ought to do more. And I would, you know, apologize, I suppose, for the failure that we have done, you know, in this particular period of time. But I think that collective efforts need to be made. As politicians, we can do and must do our part. But as, you know, regular citizens of this country, too, we have responsibilities. Mm-hmm. This was a situation that was, I suppose, cannot be looked at only from the communal angle or cannot really be looked at from, you know, Northeast versus illegal immigrants angle, because it was a design that was created by people we cannot even identify at this point of time. We don't mm-hmm. know who sent those SMSs. You know, we don't even have a system where we can distinguish and say that these are the people who've been sending these SMSs and we put them behind bars. Mm-hmm. So we do need to improve on our intelligence, of course. And I would say in the larger picture, because the questions, there are lots of questions, you know, the students have asked me. But in the larger picture, I would say that it's very important that we have some short-term issues in place and we also have some long-term issues settled.
What can you do for young people and especially specifically, I suppose, from the Northeast as well, but what can you do for young people?
And you know, Sonia, this is one experience that I've had, and this is an experience I've had after I became an MP. And it has stayed with me for a very long time, and it does make me wonder as to what I can do or what we can do as a community to really be recognized and really be recognized for the contributions that we are making. Mm-hmm. You know, this is something I in fact have mentioned in another interview, and I'd like to mention it again, is when I was in a shopping mall, you know, after becoming an MP, I was shopping and I was just looking around. And there was this woman who looked at me and she asked me for a particular size. It was something, I had a bag with me and mm-hmm. it was clear that I was actually shopping. Mm-hmm. But the first impression that she had was that she cannot be shopping here. She is definitely working here. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the kind of attitude I think is something that is not welcoming, you mm-hmm. know. I think that we need to find a way where we can say that, well, yes, we work in the retail sector, we work in hospitality, but mm-hmm. we can also be working successfully in the media. Look at Sandeep Phukan, you know, look at Mary Kom. Yes. You know, these are people who are real good achievers, who have done something amazing, mm-hmm. and they belong to the Northeast, and that must be recognized. So I think that attitude will be changed only if we ourselves try and strive to do things that we've always wanted to do and, you know, excel in certain fields.
You mentioned the pressure on students, and recently, of course, that tragic incident where a young girl from Meghalaya actually killed herself. And we saw the chief minister ask for special laws, and there was a huge furor over it. Mm-hmm. How valid do you think that is? Also, when you talk about the issue of integration, mm-hmm. do you think there needs to be a separate steps for students from the Northeast? What would your reaction be?
Well, I'm not aware of the suggestions that the Chief Minister made about separate laws. I do agree that there are situations that, you know, that crop up where it's a case of racial discrimination. But again, I would like to say that there are some situations which may not be cases of racial discrimination, and we mustn't put everything in that light. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very important for us as a nation to not allow incidences to just divide us for the sake of division, you know. And I think that it's important that students get admission into good universities. Mm-hmm. And it's important that institutes don't, you know, have some sort of an apprehension admitting students from the Northeast for the fear that there could be some sort of illegal action taken against them. So mm-hmm. I think we must be very careful when we, you know, make certain allegations, or we must be very careful in certain situations. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about any specific situation, but I really think that there is a need to be more, you know, trustful as well. And if we are always defensive, then again, there's going to be a problem. So there is a time where we need to rise above the situation and not feel victimized all the time. I think that's a situation that's happening very often these days, where we tend to feel victimized. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that, you know, it's just because I happen to be an MOS or I happen to be Mr. P.S. Angma's daughter. Like, I've been a student as well, and I never carried a nameplate saying I'm P.S. Angma's daughter. And yet, you know, I made my struggles, and I did not I did not always think that I was being victimized. Mm-hmm. So I would really appeal to my fellow friends from the Northeast that we must also walk, you know, our bit. You mm-hmm. know, it's very important that it's a midway thing. You cannot expect that everybody will walk towards you. You've got to walk the midway too.
That's a really interesting perspective. And you've mentioned Pune, Agatha. Let's just go across to Pune for someone who has a question to ask you.
Hello, Agatha. How are you? You have really made us proud when you became the youngest minister of the Indian Parliament. Are you aware that in the Parliament at present, there are 6 students from ILS? I hope you will form an ILS Alumni Association. Wow. And will come back to us in a group. I would like to put only one question to you, that the studies that you did at ILS, do you find them useful? Are you supported by it when you are working as a minister in the present government?
As a politician, are you frustrated by what's going on? We had a young boy talk about the lack of leadership, and this government is seeming directionless. Are you frustrated by what's currently going on?
I am very disappointed, for sure. It is really sad that you know, we don't see the functioning that we used to. And as growing up as a politician's daughter, I would watch my father come in late, you know, work for late hours. As a speaker, I saw him work sometimes till 12 midnight running the house. And that really was one of the reasons why I myself wanted to be in politics. But today, the kind of non-functioning that you see is definitely not just disappointing, but it is also frustrating, because there is so much more that we would like to do. Mm-hmm. And I suppose I cannot just complain, because I'm really part of that problem myself, isn't it? I'm part of that system, and I do think that we need to do more.
Mm-hmm. Let me just, you talked about how you are a lot in a constituency. I have some questions from your constituency as well. Let's go across to those.
Other than being on the record to have entered the parliament for the first time wearing Garo traditional dress, as you have claimed, what really significant things have you done for the people of the region? Your father has represented Garo Hills for over 3 decades, but till now, we don't even have the basic amenities like decent roads, drinking water, electricity, and the list goes on. Do you think you can do what your father could not?
Wow. He's angry. Like, a lot of the things that the gentleman was talking about, like roads and water and, you know, electricity, are all state subjects. And as a parliamentarian, we act as catalyst in ensuring that those amenities reach the general public. And I think that in my tenure, I have been voicing that, and I have been working towards that, but it is something eventually that state governments do need to implement. And I can't say completely that I'm really happy with the way that it has happened, but there's a system that is getting followed, and we work in that system, and we are trying our best to make sure that these amenities reach the people. I would say that the vision I have for my constituency is that I want to see it to be a more sustainably developed constituency. Mm-hmm. We are a very mineral-rich constituency. We're rich in coal, we're rich in lime, in uranium. But it has become a state where the minerals and the richness of it is actually becoming a curse to my constituency, because a lot of illegal mining is taking place there. A lot of a lot of environmental degradation is taking place there. A lot of health hazards. Water is being contaminated. Mm-hmm. And I really think it's very, very important that a mining policy be put in place immediately. And this is something that I have appealed to the government several times, and I'm working towards. But eventually, like I said, it can only be done by state governments. So there is a difficulty here, you know, when you become a member of parliament, it's not like, you can't just say, let there be light and there comes the light. You do eventually, you realize you're human, and you have to work in those limitations. But I think that in my own limited capacity, I have been trying to do my best.
The Sangmas and your family have dominated Meghalaya politics. In fact,
they're not dominated, but
well, who else has dominated?
See, everybody's a Sangma there. Today, our chief minister is Mukul Sangma, but he's not part of my family, you know. So,
but P.A. Sangma and his family have, in a sense, dominated Meghalaya politics. Two of your brothers are also in politics. How do you react when people say, you know, that one reason we don't want the women's reservation bill is that it's only going to be the daughters or daughter-in-laws of politicians who will actually benefit, even when you see the women in parliament, or most of them are related to powerful political families. Mm-hmm. In that sense, do you agree with this kind of family rule or hereditary rule, which has now become prevalent in politics?
I don't really agree with it, but I mean, I really cannot even claim to say that it's all bad. You know, I mean, this is something where there's always a reservation, there's always going to be a pro to it, there'll always be a con to it. So you can't criticize something and say that, well, it's completely bad. I really feel okay when you have a women reservation bill coming up and it becomes a law. Yes, initially you'll have women who come from families who are politically influential, and they may not even contribute in the parliament. They may not even contribute as members of parliament or as members of legislative assembly. But it is something that I feel it eventually it will increase the number of women in the parliament and in the assemblies, and eventually it will bring about an improvement of the entire situation, and you will have women who are loudspoken and who are able to voice the concerns of their constituencies. And I think in the parliament today there are a lot of young parliamentarians, there are a lot of relatives of parliamentarians who are doing a very constructive work as, parliamentarians or as MLAs.
Okay.
And there is criticism, of course, but it doesn't mean that it's all bad.
The other question, of course, your father, as we speak, has just launched a new political party. Mm-hmm. The contradiction, some would say, that you are still in the NCP, you're still a union minister of state. Mm-hmm. And yet, when your father was campaigning as president, you accompanied him on some visits which he made. And how can you stay in this government when he's made it very clear he doesn't believe in it?
Firstly, I would like to clarify on some facts. Mm-hmm. I did not campaign with my father, you know. He is my father, and if I'm seen with him because he is my father, one cannot, call that as campaigning. It was a very difficult situation, and I didn't see the point of justifying myself there, because I cannot obviously not be seen with my father. He's my father, you know, and if he's campaigning, if he went to meet political parties, there was a point where as a tribal, you know, as a tribal MP, I did go. And that time there was no UPA candidate. So there was no question of me campaigning against a UPA candidate and campaigning for somebody who's not acknowledged by the UPA. Because at that point it was not even a candidature that a particular person's candidature that we were campaigning for. Mm-hmm. We were only meeting political party leaders, and we were asking for people, from political parties, we were asking for leaders to acknowledge that, yes, we've never had a tribal as a president of this country, and probably it's time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in that group, if I'm part of it as a tribal, I don't really see that there's anything contradictory in being an MOS and doing something of that sort, because it was really on a matter of principle. As soon as it became an official election and an official campaign, I did not campaign. You know, I was extremely, I was extremely careful, and I knew that I have a certain role to play, and I did that very responsibly. So I really don't see that as a contradiction. And today, yes, he's launching a new party, and that is his call. You know, we all have a call in our life, and his call is his life in politics. And he continues to do so, and I continue to do so. And I think that we can coexist. You know, we can understand our responsibilities, and we can coexist. And there needn't be any clash just because you belong to two different political parties. India has seen it in various political families, and it'll continue to see that.
No, but will your political party, will the NCP be mature enough to accept that? Because there are reports that they were upset you may be dropped from the cabinet.
Well, I think, you know, there were all probably rumors, or they were probably being incited by certain segments who found interest in that. But I really think that if my party chief had something against me, by now he would have probably taken some action against me. And I would say I respect him dearly for all the good treatment that he's given me. And I respect him, I respect my political party, and I have been doing my job to the best of my ability. And sometimes, you know, some things appear to look like they are in stress, but I really think it's more of a speculation than anything else.
So you're not worried about your post as a Minister of State?
Not really.
You don't want to join your father's party?
No, I'm completely content with where I am right now. And I believe that I've taken up a responsibility, and it is my duty to fulfill it till you know, it's taken away from me, you know, at the end of the term.
We have MC Marycom on the phone now live to ask you a question. So, Mary, hi, this is Sonia Singh. Go ahead and ask, go ahead and say what you would like to Agatha Sangma.
Now, notice we get an Olympic medal. Most of the sports person, they're inspiring for me. So, if we give our attention, you know, about the sports, in sports, I mean, mainly in sports, all the facilities, giving a good, if we give good facilities, that will be a very grateful for all the sports youngsters and all.
Thank you, Mary. I'm a big fan of hers. In fact, you know, I read a story in Tehelka about Mary, and she spoke about how the first time she discovered how she was good at boxing was when she was in her village in Churachandpur, and she was going in a rickshaw, and the rickshaw driver tried to act smart with her, you know. And she boxed him. And that's when she realized that she's actually good at this stuff. So I think that it's an amazing story of somebody who finds opportunities in times of trouble and, you know, in times of hardship. So that's something that's really inspiring to me. And I would say that Northeast is something that is very, very talented when it comes to sports and when it comes to music. And this is something which is in our blood. You know, it's in our nature. It's literally who we are. So I would really do my best to ensure that we can do something more, you know, to ensure that that sort of talent is nurtured in the Northeast.
Well, we're almost at the end of the show, and we had Marycom. We also have another young sportsman from the Northeast, Baichung Bhutia, to ask you this question.
I know at this age you've been given such big responsibility. So do you get time to hang out with your friends, go out, you know, clubbing or hang out with friends? And also, just wanted to know that when you're getting married, or you found somebody good, Meghalaya guy as well.
That's a sweet question.
Thank you, Baichung. Of course, I do have dinners with my friends, and it's not as bad, you know, to be honest. And I do get a lot of time to myself without really being seen as an MOS. And I can really get away in a pair of jeans and t-shirt, and no one can really tell it's me. So it's great.
No Meghalaya guy in the offing. You're not answering his second part of his question.
That's really not happening at the moment.
Well, hopefully that will happen soon, Agatha. Yeah. But it was really interesting talking to you. Thank you so much for coming in. Thank you.